My name is Ben Glass. I'm from Delta Junction, Alaska. I've spoken here before, and last time I was here, God taught me a very valuable lesson. Taught me that He's first, His way, and if I trust in Him, He will help me overcome any obstacles that He allows to come my way. The topic of my workshop, like Nancy spoke earlier, is God's victory in us transformation. The Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. What I found is that for my steps to be ordered by the Lord, sometimes He has to harmful things in our paths. We consider harmful because we often do not know the steps He has for us to take. We know that He orders our steps, but if we are living by faith, as the Bible claims that we need to, without faith is impossible to please God. Therefore, if we're living by faith and we're walking by faith and God orders our steps, oftentimes we do not see what the next step is or what direction He wants us to go in. So He will put on our hearts the things He wants us to have, the things we need to have to accomplish the task He created us on this earth to accomplish. We've heard in different workshops this morning about God has a plan for us. He has a goal for us, that He has a purpose for us. And if we seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, His righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. Well, to get there, to get to the point where these things are added unto you, to get to the point where their steps are ordered by the Lord, to get to the point where you can honestly live by faith, oftentimes God puts obstacles purposely, strategically in your path. We do not often see them as God. We see them as bad things, bad moments, other people, mistakes. We do not see the blessing they bring because our perspectives are off. To get to a God-like perspective, one thing we're going to have to admit to ourselves is we're going to have to go through some pain. But it's necessary because without the pain, without the darkness, without the hard times, without the scrapes, without the bruises, we don't really know what God's really capable of. Let me put it like this. I didn't really know what God was capable of. I've said it. I've talked about it. I've sung about it. I write poetry about it. But I really didn't. I wasn't living it. I wasn't believing it. I wasn't walking it out. I got to a point in my life where I felt I had everything a man could have. I felt like God had blessed me beyond me asking for blessing. I was married to a beautiful woman, 3 beautiful kids. God blessed me with a wonderful job. I've got brothers who I love, you know, here and there, but I have them. If I need them, they're there. They'll die for me if I ask them to. Parents who are both healthy, serving God. I had everything. Often told my coworkers, those who I talked about God, some I even have brought to Christ, I've got everything. I've got everything a man could possibly have. God has so blessed me. God has so blessed me. Well, I got to a point in my life where the repetitiveness of me saying how blessed I am began to get stale. I began to want more than just what I thought I had. I began to see God and I start asking God about His Son. Now, obviously, I didn't know the deep waters I was getting into before I started asking. But the Bible says, Jesus said, you can do as I did in greater things. So I'm like, okay, I start inquiring about the greater things. I start inquiring about walking on water, raising the dead, big miracles, because He said I could have them. Now, He obviously loved me, and He's obviously approved of me, my lifestyle, my perspective, because I have everything a man could want, right? Wrong. It was just the opposite. God was putting me in a position for strategic and utter dependency on Him. But to get a dependency so developed on a God that you don't know as well as you think you do, you got to give something up. Let me say it like this. It's got to be taken from you by force. But the force in which it's taken is yourself and you just don't know it yet. God brought me to a place of decision, specific and great, intricate decision. One day I was at work, and I remember, I have everything. I was at work. I was outside. It was nighttime, dark sky. I was praying. Well, I was talking to God. Okay, I'm not going to say I was praying, because I was talking to God. I was inquiring about the stars. I looked up at the sky and I said, Father, God, what does your heart feel like? I said, God, now remember, in my mind, I have everything. I want to know what your heart knows. I want to feel what your heart feels. Dare I ask that question? Because to me, remember, I've got everything. God's approved of my life. I am approved by God. I'm saved. I'm righteous because of the blood of Jesus. God hears my prayers and answers them. I'm approved. So dare I ask the question? I want to know what your heart knows. I want to feel what your heart feels. I want to see what your heart sees. I ask the question because in my mind, I wanted to be, honestly, I wanted to be where Jesus was, okay? I didn't understand the value in where I was comparative to who Jesus was. It's if I can make that a little simpler. Jesus was the Son of God, okay? But he said I could do what he did. I didn't understand the price he paid to do what he did. I didn't understand the price he paid to love me. I didn't get it. I didn't understand what he meant on the cross when he said, forgive them. Forgive them for they don't know what they're doing. I didn't understand that. I didn't understand what he meant when he came walking on the water and he was going to pass by and Peter came out and he said, oh, ye of little faith. I didn't understand what he meant by that. You know, I just figured Peter looked around, got scared, and that was the little faith. Like, I was like, oh, that's not a big deal. I can fix that. You know, whatever. I can fix that. So remember, I asked God about his heart. So I was at work and Holy Spirit came to me and he said, you know, you asked me before you got married, you give me a very clear description on the type of woman you wanted to marry physically. How tall, color hair, skin tone, beauty, everything. You asked me specifically. You were very specific. The Bible said be specific, so I was specific on the outside. He said, you never asked me what kind of woman you wanted on the inside. And I didn't really understand the question at the time, you know. So I considered it. I was reading my Bible, and I ran across a virtuous wife in the Bible. So I started reading about it. I was like, man, I want a virtuous wife. So the Bible says, you know, claim the things that aren't as though they are. And you will receive. Cool. So I went home. I said, babe, you're a virtuous woman. What else do I got to do? Came home again. Babe, you're a virtuous woman. By the third day, I go back to work. God says, Holy Spirit says, have you decided what you want? Remember, he asked me what kind of woman I want on the inside. I found it in the Bible. I hadn't taken it back to him. I had to start speaking on my own. He said, what kind of woman do you want? Have you decided? I said, yes, I know what I want. What do you want? I said, I want a virtuous woman. He said, are you sure? I said, yeah. Bible says a virtuous woman, that's what a man should want. You know, a man finds a wife, finds a good thing, all those things. That's what I want. He said, okay. I'll get to work. Now, I thought up until this point, if God asked me what I wanted to see in somebody else, that he was going to work on the somebody else. Because obviously, a virtuous woman meant he was going to work on the woman. That's where the steps of the righteous man ordered by the Lord start coming into play. God said, okay, this is what we're going to do. There are certain things in your life I have let slide up to this point. But now you're asking me about big boy things, man things. You can't do what you're doing, be how you are, get what you want to receive, even in the virtuous wife category, because what you don't understand, it's not about her. It's about you. Now, let me get this straight. I read my Bible. I pray. I come to Point of Hope. People come to me. I bring people to Christ. What more do I need to do? Well, he's like, all right. I'm going to give you a picture of yourself. So I drove up to work one day. I pulled into the parking lot. I had probably half an hour before I actually had to be where I needed to be. I pulled up, parked my car, and I saw a vision. So I was sitting in my car because I just pulled up in it. And I saw myself standing outside my car. It was me. Boom. But I was filthy, like dirty, muggy, muddy, like I've been rolling around in the mud. And I was looking at myself. And I looked at myself. And myself looked back at me, and I was like, whoa, this is kind of weird. I'm not sleeping. I'm wide awake, and I'm seeing what I'm seeing. So I called my mom because she's spiritual. I was like, Mom, what am I looking at? So then she called my aunt, who's also spiritual. And, you know, Mom's like, they're like, well, that's just a picture of what God's showing what you look like. That's what you look like, but he can take care of that. I'm like, okay. Your aunt told me to tell you you'll be fine. I'm like, okay. Well, then the battle kicked up. Mary Glacier is an apostle of our church. About a year before that, she'd come to our church, and she told me, it may have been 2 years, she told me, God wants to wrestle with you. But don't worry, he's going to win. Right? I had forgotten all about that now. So this whole virtuous wife thing and wanting God's heart thing, I had forgotten all about God wanting to wrestle with me. I just, you know, all of a sudden I just want a virtuous wife, and I wanted this, and I wanted that, and blah, blah. So all of a sudden, I'd go to work, and my flesh started to kick up, okay? What I mean by kick up, I mean I started getting angry. And angry for like reasons that they don't make logical sense. You know, you just get mad about stuff. And I would go home, speak to my wife about a certain thing, and I would walk away from the conversation feeling worse than I did when I got there. And it kept happening to the point where I started saying, you know, I find myself getting mad. I don't know why. And nothing she says is helping me feel better. I'm just carrying this around for no apparent reason. What do I do about this? So I go to work. I'm like, Holy Spirit, what is this? First, nothing. Nothing. So then the next thing that comes up, anxiety, really bad anxiety, like really bad, like just about anything and everything, you know, just, oh, to the point where like I felt okay inside, you know, you just, there's a problem, you get mad. Then I get anxiety because I'm mad, and I talk to my wife, and it doesn't get better. And so then I go back to work, and I started praying. I'm like, God, what is this? Nothing. Okay. Then to anger, anxiety, worry. Okay. Yeah. First, these three things. Okay. So I'm there, and I'm praying, and I'm saying, Holy Spirit, what's going on with me? Like, why do I feel this way? First, he didn't say anything. Then I told him, okay, I'm feeling this way. I need you to do something about it. Okay? I need you to fix my wife because it's obviously her fault. You know, why else would I be feeling this way? Nothing. He didn't say anything. So about a week went by and I'm still feeling this way. And then finally, I'm at work and I'm upstairs praying. And I prayed for about 15, 20 minutes, nothing. So I get down on my face and I'm praying some more. And then I finally got Holy Spirit talks to me. He's like, okay, what are you mad about? I was like, I don't know. What do you have anxiety about? I was like, I don't know. He's like, okay. There's something we can do about it, but you have to be willing to go all the way with it. But being a good Christian, I'm like, okay, yeah, I can do that. Let's do that. Let's knock this out of the park. He said, okay. So what he brought me to is a place of beginning to surrender. Now, the battle came when I knew what God was telling me to do, okay? And then I know what my flesh is telling me to do. Now, remember, when I get mad because I know the word, that's what comes out, okay? For instance, let's say, okay, I go home from work. I walk in the house, and We got three kids, all right? Wife's been doing mother work all day. She's tired, you know, dishes, laundry, and everything needs to be done. I walk in the house, and, you know, she's like, hey, babe, can you do the dishes for me? I really don't want to. Okay, so I'll do it. But I'm not happy about it. I mean, I'm not like, okay, sweetie, yeah, I love you. So, yeah. I'm like, why should I be doing this? I just came home from work for 12 hours. Blah, 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 blah. I'm in there doing the dishes. Getting mad. Get them done. Next day, come back home. Babe, can you help me undo the dishes? I'm like, you're here for 12 hours? Like, you can't do the dishes? Get in there. Not happy about it. Do the dishes. So finally, a third day, I go back to work. And I'm like, God, I shouldn't have to work and then go home and do the dishes. Like, this is stupid. Like, come on, man. And the Holy Spirit shows up. He's like, all right, you said you wanted to get rid of being angry and your anxiety. I was like, yeah. He's like, you need to be humble. I was like, okay, but to humble myself. I don't know what that means. I've heard it for years. I don't know what it means to be humble. He's like, simple. Go home and do the dishes and don't say anything. That's the instruction he gave me. I'm not making this up. I'm like, how is that being humble? That's me doing everything. Like, he's like, just go home today and do the dishes and don't say anything. So I get home. I wish I could say I did it perfect the first day, but I didn't. I went home, walk in the house. Babe, can you help me out and do the dishes? I get home, like, this is stupid. And he's like, get outside. Turned around and walked outside. He's like, no, he's like, and first he let me talk for about 2 minutes. I was like, this is stupid. I can't believe why, and blah, blah, blah. He's like, no, he's like, you said you were willing to do anything I told you to do to get rid of this anger and this anxiety, correct? Yeah. You told me you did not know what it meant to be humble, correct? Right. So you're saying, I'm telling you to be humble. You want to be humble, but you don't even know what it looks like. But you're going to tell me that doing the dishes isn't it, but you have no idea what it is. Yeah, no. All I want you to do is go in the house and do the dishes and don't say anything. See, when the Holy Spirit talks and you know it's the Holy Spirit, sometimes you're like, I'm not sure. But when he talks and he makes sure that you know it's him talking, you really don't have a lot of excuses. You can say, I'm going to be obedient or I'm going to be disobedient. So, yes, sir. So I went in the house and I started doing the dishes. Well, this became a pattern. I would get home and I would just start doing the dishes. Okay. First week, I'm not going to lie, I wasn't happy about it. But by the second week, I realized something changed. I would go home and do the dishes, and I started enjoying it. Doesn't make any sense. I've worked 12 hours, but I came home, and wife would be in the kitchen, and I would just start doing the dishes. And just, well, you know, we're spending a little more time together. I'm not mad about anything, because I'm actually helping her do the dishes, you know, and things are getting a little better. So I'm like, okay, I can do that. So things got a little easier. And I'm thinking, well, if this is all I had to do to get the heart of God, like, this isn't that big a deal. This is pretty easy. That wasn't even the beginning. So time goes on, and I'm at work again, and I still feel like a disconnect with God. Now, when I say feel a disconnect, like, I know God's there, and I know if I talk to him, he's going to listen to me. He always listens to me. He loves me, you know? I might have to wait a little bit for his response, but he's going to talk to me. When I say I feel disconnect, all of a sudden I start feeling that there was more to the relationship between me and God than I was getting. Like, I feel like he had more for me, but for some reason I feel like there was something between me, him, and I. And I couldn't get to it. And I start feeling that way more and more. I'm doing the dishes now, and that part's better, but now I just start feeling this desire for him, and I couldn't get to him. I felt like there was nothing I could do to make up this space that kept growing every day. The more I wanted to be with him, the further away I felt he was getting. So I went to work, and I was pacing, and I started praying, and I was like, God, what is this? And then the realization hit me is like, when I come to you with my hands out. I want something from you. But I'm telling you what I want from you because I know what I need. I finally realized I didn't know what God had for me. I had never asked him what he wanted to give me. I always looked in the Bible, read what the word says, and like, this is what the Bible says I need, so I want you to give me this, like you did for Moses or you did for David. I'm not Moses and I'm not David. I'm Benjamin Glass. So what does God have for me? So I was like, I don't know what that is. So you give me what you have for me. I want you to give me what you have for me. He said, okay, now we can get somewhere. And so like I said, topic is God's victory in us. Now, the battle that I had to lose was between me and my flesh. The first thing that happened, remember, I asked God to see his heart, okay? Now, like I said, a lot of times we have to go through a pain, a loss, okay? I say that experience because I know what I've been through. I know where I am. And I could never be where I am if I hadn't gone through what I went through. So even though in the moment when I started to go through it, I didn't understand it, I'm blessed because of it. I never thought I'd say that out loud to anybody. I never thought that I would take what I figured in the moment was the biggest challenge of my life and thank God immensely for that, you know? I find that for me, my perspective on pain was distorted. The Bible said Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered, okay? So one day, I'll tell a story, follow along. If you have any questions, raise your hand. I'll do the best to explain. One day, I got a knock on the door, okay? I got a knock on the door in my heart. I went to the door and opened it, and it wasn't God standing there. It was a demon. And he said, Ben, I have been given access to your heart. And there's nothing you can do about it. I've been through the proper channels. I've been given the okay. I'm going to tear your heart up. And you're going to have to watch me do it. Naturally, I try to shut the door. And I thought I got it shut. You know? But I didn't. Days went by and he kicked it open and broke my door down. And he goes there, cutting away at my heart. So when this happened, the first thing in the physical realm that happened to me is I lost my breath, my air. I wanted to call on God, but I couldn't see him. Couldn't hear him. I wanted to ask him why, but I didn't really care. You ever been in pain so bad you didn't care why it was happening? You didn't care if God could rescue you. You didn't care to ask him to rescue you. It's like blinding, you know? A pain that deep can only be brought to you if you are serving God as a Christian, if God okayed it, okay? Now, deep down I knew that, but at that time, that's not what I was ready to admit. I asked God to see his heart. So when the pain started, I got blind. I was blinded. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know why it was occurring, but I knew I was not in the right state yet to make the choices I needed to make. One thing I found that if we are on God's timetable for him ordering our steps, bringing us to a place of humbleness, which he was on the way of bringing me to, he will put around you counsel, wise counsel, so when that moment comes, you might not have the strength to ask him, but he will bring to your remembrance, because the Holy Spirit does, those he's put around you to make the choice for you. Every great king had counsel, okay? So I went to my counsel. I was like, this is what has happened. A demon's walked in my house. I don't know what to do about it. Well, they're like, well, you have three doors, A, B, and C. Door A is your flesh. You can accept what your flesh is telling you. You can run. And you can run. Door B, you can harden your heart. Save what's left of it. Cut the half off that's hurting. throw the rest away, chain up the rest of your heart, lock it up, and never use it again. But you'll know what it looks like in the future. If you ever see something coming at you like this demon did, you'll know, and you'll know to avoid it. But that your heart will be hardened. Or door C, Christ. I was like, man. See, my whole life I've been like, I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. So my counsel said this. And this is what kind of puts a sign some light in. You have an opportunity to be like Jesus. You going to take it? This is what you've always wanted. You've been praying for this moment your entire life. You've been preparing for this moment your entire life. What are you going to do? Now, when you put it like that, I was like, okay. But I don't have the strength. You know what they said? I can't help you. You know what to do. And they walked away. So I was left by myself with this great pain. I went to the Father and I said, look at my heart. You know what he said? Look at mine. Look at mine. Every single day, Benjamin, I look at my people. Turn their backs on me. Forget about me. Forget that I died for their sins. How do you think that makes me feel? How do you think I feel? I'm waiting every single day for my sons and daughters to come home. You're waiting on one thing. I'm waiting on billions. How do you think I feel? You wanted to fill my heart. This is what it feels like. And you turned around. So now I'm there. I'm weeping. But something changed. Began to change. I stopped weeping for myself. I started weeping for God. Because I was like, if this hurts this bad for me, what is he going through? Not just for the loss, but on the things that I've done. So many times I've turned my back because I was angry. I've yelled at my wife because I was tired. How much do those little things cause division between me and the Father? See, I didn't think they did. The little things, right? He's like, no, if you want to be like my son, everything counts. Because Jesus was perfect, right? The little things, they're huge things. Sin is sin to God. He's holy. So I started reading the Bible, and in 2 Peter, I think it's in 4 or 3. I'm not going to look it up. It's in there. Anyway, I'm paraphrasing. Bear with me. He says, after you have suffered for a while, perfect, holy, pure faith, you come out as pure gold or something. Okay? Well, you want me to read it to you? You want me to read it to you? You guys don't care? Yes. Okay, thank you. Anyway, so I started going to the Word, and I noticed in the Word that everything about the Father, his kings, the ones who went through struggle, it wasn't supporting a mopey lifestyle. In Ecclesiastics, it says, there's a time and place for everything under heaven. Time for mourning. Time for weeping. But at the end it says, you know, there comes a time to put all these things away. Okay, here it is. 1 Peter 10. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Okay. 1 Peter chapter 10. What? What did I write down in here? What did I tell you? You said chapter 10. Hold on. Give me a second. Is it 5:10? Thank you. 5:10. Thank you, Aaron. God bless you. In many ways. Anyway. Okay, so I Once I realized that suffering was part of the steps that God was calling me to walk out, I had to learn how to suffer correctly. Now, I thought suffering meant I had to consider all the things that had been done to me to cause me pain, but that's not what God says. See, what God taught me is that if you're going to be like me, you have to learn to forgive. I can't heal you unless you forgive. And he told me I had to forgive while I was in pain. I had to forgive while the hurt was still new and fresh, like a new wound. I had to make the choice when I didn't feel like it, when I could not, then I didn't have any kind words to say. So I forgave, and I saw something. I realized I didn't know how to forgive. I didn't really know how to forgive anything because I had never done it before. I had never been in this kind of pain. So therefore, forgiving for me in the past was, hey, I forgive you. Let's move on. You know, I'll buy another Coke tomorrow because you drank mine. You know, not a big deal. You know, this was something that matters to the heart. Okay. So once again, I realized that I was lacking on true forgiveness. I didn't have the ability to do it. So I found counsel and I was honest. It's like, listen, there's a man I work with, spiritual man. I went to him. I was like, listen, I need your help. I do not know how to forgive. I told somebody I forgive them, and I'm not walking it out. I keep reminding and bringing stuff up that should not be brought up. How do I forgive? He looked at me, and he said, well, what do you want to do? You got three doors, A, B, and C. Which one do you want to take? You can run away, chain your heart up, or you can take Christ. Which one do you want? I was like, I'll take Christ. He said, okay, this is what you have to do. True forgiveness means you cannot hold the event that the individuals or individual caused to their account. In other words, you look at that person like they've done nothing because you forgive them for it. Because that's how God looks at you when he gives you forgiveness. If you want to walk in the shoes that Jesus walked in, you have to forgive as if Jesus forgave. So when you look at that person, you have to say, I forgive you, and look at them brand new. Who thinks that's easy? It's impossible. But the Bible says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So what I had to do, I had to get alone. And what I did not realize I was doing is God gave me a dream after this. In the dream, I went to work. I went to my boss's office in the dream. And this man named Ramsey was standing there. And he said, Benjamin, I walked in the office. He said, Benjamin. I said, yes, sir. He's like, you have a lot of hurt deep, deep down, and you're pretending it's not there. That's all he said to me in the dream. I looked at him. I was like, what? He's like, you're hurting. And then I woke up. So I thought about that for a little bit. And then I went before God. I was like, listen, I'm hurt. Okay. I thought I was strong, but I'm not. I wanted to forgive, but how can I forgive if I'm in pain? And I can't get rid of the pain because I don't know how. I want to forgive, but I can't do it. So he said, well, you need a perspective change. You need a whole new everything change. Are you up for that? Yeah. Okay. So what started happening for me is he told me to read 1 Samuel. Oh, 2 Samuel. So I read 2 Samuel and 2 Samuel 14. I read it twice because I read it the first time and he said, you missed a lot. Read it again. So 2 Samuel 14, he began to speak to me. I love King David. He's one of my favorite persons in the Bible. I love him because he was made after God's own heart, and I've always wanted to capture God's heart. So this is what he said about David. So I was reading Samuel. It says, King David felt great pain in his troubles, but never judged the people or his family out of his strong emotions. He gave to God to make the judgment because God is not moved out of our hurts, nor does he make rulings trapped in our irrational eyesight that our pain brings. Now, I know you're going to read 2 Samuel 14. The Holy Spirit gave me Revelation on 2 Samuel 14. Let me say it like that. Okay? So. Okay, so. God is not moved. Okay. Okay. I'm just going to read the whole thing. King David felt great pain in his troubles, but never judged the people or his family out of his strong emotions. He gave it to God to make the judgment, because God is not moved out of our hurts, nor does he make rulings trapped in our irrational eyesight that our pain brings. Holy Spirit said, put all your hurts before him and allow time to heal your wounds, and let God give you strength and wise counsel. And only once you understand his motives in love, then go back and give God's response and answer to the situation. For this is the will of God concerning you. This is king mentality that you are called to walk in. So God was telling me, I'm not going to take your hurt from you. You need this for now. I'm not going to remove your hurt from you, because you need to know I'm bigger than your hurt. I'm not going to take away how you feel, because you need to understand how you feel is not dictated on me. So what he began to do is show himself in me alongside of my emotions. Now, because I was in so much pain, my emotions were really loud, really loud. So every choice I made was dictated between my emotion, my emotional state, which was not balanced, and the Holy Spirit. And every single choice I had to choose. You can choose to speak out of pain, or you can choose to speak out of love. The thing I did not understand about God's love is God's love doesn't consider, say it like this, God's love didn't consider me as an individual. It considered God's heart for the one who needed it most, okay? The pain that I was involved in needed to happen for somebody else to become free, okay? Without that pain, freedom would have never taken place. God knew he put in me strength, if I was to seek him, that I could withstand through him the pain that was being caused for the individual to become free. Wrap your mind around that. You have an individual here who's trapped in prison. They're in jail, okay? The only way they can be free from jail, okay, is to get the keys from you. The only way they can get the keys from you is they have to cause you pain to get the keys, okay? You have a doctor staying behind you, okay? Prison, keys on you, and a doctor. All they have to do is get the keys. So they stab you. They get the keys, they open the cell. Now they're free. Now the doctor, to bring you back, is right behind you. Okay? You're going to be fine. They're free. Without the pain that you were caused, they will stay in prison the rest of their life. That's how God put it to me. He said, what's more important? Flesh wound? Because that's all it is to me. Or their freedom. Because you want to be like me now. When you want to see how I see and do how I do, it's not about you. Because what did my son do? Did he consider himself? Or did he consider you? Well, he considered me. He said he died on the cross for me. That's right. He took it so you didn't have to. So you'd be freed. I'm asking you to do the same thing. Wow. That's an honor. It's no longer about my hurt. God says, I trust you with this one. I trust you so much. I'm willing to allow this demon to get into your heart, because I know that you know I can rebuild it better. You know that I know I can bring anything back from the dead. I know that you trust me for their sake. So it stopped being about how I felt and start being about their freedom. In that moment, he started changing my perspective. I stopped seeing pain. I start seeing joy. I start seeing thanksgiving that this happened, because they were being set free. In that moment, I began to look on the surrounding environment and find joy in that. I'm not supposed to. People came up to me and said, how could this be? You're supposed to be crippled by this. How could you possibly be doing what you're doing? And all I could say is, man, I asked God for a miracle, man. I asked God for a miracle. And to me, a miracle is God doing something I can't do. And their freedom is something I can't do. One more thing God showed me. Now, so this individual is out of jail and they're taking a step towards their freedom. Now, the doctor's not just there for me. They've been in jail for a long time. Okay. So they need to get checked out, make sure their vital signs are fine, all that stuff, right? So this is the hard part. They're out of jail. I'm there. I'm fine. I mean, stitching me, I'm good. Now the doctor's working on them. Okay, their vital signs. Make sure they breathe and run and all that kind of stuff they need to do. Make sure they got food and nourishment and water and all that kind of stuff. So I started to jump in the doctor's way. Okay? Because, you know, I know the Bible. So I started like, hey, doc, I got this. Let me put the IV in here. You know, they don't need, you know, that much bread. Give them half of that. You know, they don't need that much water. Give them Kool-Aid. Right? I started trying to be the doctor for the doctor. That's not how it works. So the next thing God taught me is that my righteousness is as filthy rags. I've heard it before, but I've never seen it in action. What he was telling me is you can quote every scripture in that Bible. You can say any prayer you want. If I have not told you to do so, you are causing damage to my children. You're hurting them because you want to help them. You're not a doctor. The Holy Spirit's the doctor, okay? You're a patient that's been freed, that's healthy. Get out of my way. It was hard for me to let the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit. I didn't realize that I was trying to play God. I didn't see it. Once I saw it, I realized I didn't know what to do about it. I realized that in my insufficiency, in my lack was simply, God, I don't know how to get out of your way and let you be God. I don't know how to not get in your way. I don't know how to not see somebody misquoting this scripture and fix it for them. Them come to me with a problem and read this, this, and this. Do this. I wasn't helping them. Because all the scriptures in the world, if the Holy Spirit's not involved in it, it's just words. The Holy Spirit says, I will bring everything back to your remembrance. All truth is given by the Holy Spirit. He is truth. But I was taking him out of the equation. So, the hardest thing for me to learn was that God didn't need my help. What God needed for me is to sit down and let him do what he's going to do. The last thing the Holy Spirit was teaching me is self-sufficiency on him and not myself. See, I was brought up in the Word. I've been in church my whole life. That's what I know. But he was showing me that what I know isn't good enough anymore. If I'm gonna do his work, it has to be his work and his work alone. It couldn't be my interpretation of his work. Okay. He asked me a question. He said, what can be forgiven is what he asked me. And I thought about that for a while. What can be forgiven? When he first asked me, my first response was everything. And then he said, then why aren't you forgiving? If everything can be forgiven, why aren't you forgiving? And the truth was, forgiving in my perspective is not the same as forgiving in his. Loving in my perspective is not the same as loving in his. To know the scriptures and to live them are two different things. I had to learn that walking out forgiveness was the key for me to be free. Because the person in jail was me. The person that was stuck in prison was me. I had to take the keys for myself. I had to kill my flesh to get my own keys. The whole time I was putting everything on somebody else. And God said, this whole time wasn't them, it was you. You're the other person. Did you ever take time to turn them around and look at them? Or were you always looking at their back? And I was. God taught me that His love goes beyond my pain. His love goes beyond my understanding. And the fact that I lack is one of the biggest gifts I have. Because my lack leads me to His sufficiency. One thing that God was really teaching me, the three things He was really teaching me through all this, is the first thing was humility. Humility, the quality or condition of being humble, modest, or estimated of one's own importance. For me, humility is letting the Holy Spirit know that I need Him and I trust Him. The biggest love of my life is my family, my wife, my kids, hands down. I have this men's group. Aaron's part of it, and another guy named Jason is part of it. Jason called me the other day, a couple weeks ago. Out of the blue, I just got off work, and he said, hey, man, I need to ask you something, bro. He's like, have you given your wife and your kids to God? It's like, you talk about them all the time. But have you actually given them back to God? Because he's like, technically, man, your wife is God's daughter, and your kids belong to Him. You're just, how do you say, you're borrowing them. You're borrowing them. They're not yours. And I thought about what he said. I was like, wow. He's like, yeah. I was like, you know what? I never have. I've never given my wife and my kids to God. I hadn't done it. And he's like, bro, man, I think you need to do that, man. I was like, I don't know why I called you, but I just really think you should consider it. And when he said it, I knew he was right because I started to cry. And I was like, man, I need your help. Sometimes, how do you know that God's really involved in something you really, really, that weighs heavy on your heart? Because when it comes up for me, it's hard to do. Just saying the words, God, I give you my wife. I give you Bona. She's yours. I give you my daughter, Jersey, and my son, Benjamin, and my daughter, Justice, because you can take better care of them than I can. Just saying those words, it took a lot for me, you know? And for me, that was part of me walking in humility before the Holy Spirit, saying, if these precious things are so precious to me, I have to give them up. I have to. And once I started to do that, then He began to change my perspective. The fear went away. I don't get anxiety anymore, which is awesome. I'm starting to enjoy, you know, every moment I get with my wife because, you know, this moment we have right now could be the last one we ever get. Things that I thought were important aren't so important. Arguments, it's just a waste of time, you know. God put us together for a reason, and the difference in the perspective on the same thing is a blessing because she's going to see things I can't see. You know, I'm going to see things she can't see. If I'm not willing and open enough to hear that from her, who am I? You know? So the second thing God was teaching me was teaching me about spirituality. And this is how He put it to me, that man would not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Part of this journey God walked me on, I had to end a 5-day fast. Now, when I started the fast, I didn't start on purpose. I was at work. I hadn't ate for 4 days. No, I hadn't ate until 4 o'clock PM. It was 4 o'clock PM and I hadn't ate. And I was just there and I hadn't eaten. I was like, you know what? I haven't fasted for a long time. I'm going to fast. God didn't tell me to fast. Holy Spirit didn't tell me. Nobody told me to fast. I was just, I'm going to fast. I didn't have a length of time. I didn't know why I was fasting. I just wanted to fast. I called my mom. I was like, am I allowed to fast without God telling me to? She's like, yeah, but these are the things you have to do. So I did that and I started to fast. Well, the first day was okay. The second day, I'm like, I don't know why I'm fasting. And the thought came to me, you're being religious. You have no reason to fast. God didn't tell you to fast. And you're not fasting for anything. You're just not eating. That's being religious. So I walked outside and I was like, God, am I being religious? I was like, am I allowed to fast? I didn't even really know what fasting was at the time. I had no idea what the purpose of fasting was. So I was outside praying and I was like, okay, God, if I'm supposed to fast, at least give me a time. Give me a length of time. I stood there. Nothing. I turned around and go back inside and I heard 5 days.
5 days.
It was loud. It didn't sound like that, obviously, but it was loud. Loud enough where I turned around. I was like, whoa. And it was almost like it was written in the ground. 5 days. I was like, that's a long time. You know, that's three. Okay, I've done three, but five is, that's beyond my, I've never done 5 days. So I'm like, okay, but am I being religious? I walk back in, to where I was working. I sat down and he said, open your Bible. I opened it up to the story of the woman in the well. And he said, read the story. And I was like, there's nothing in the story about woman in the well about fasting. It's just, I've read it before. I've heard it. There's nothing. He's like, read. So I started reading. Nothing. Kept reading. Nothing. Kept reading. Nothing. I was like, Holy Spirit, there's nothing here. He's like, just keep reading. So I kept reading. I got to the part where Jesus is with the woman by the well and he sends her off. She's going to go tell people she's met Jesus and to get other people. And his disciples say, Rabbi, 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 you haven't ate anything all day. You need to eat something. And he looks at them and he says, I eat from food you know not of. I eat from food you know not of. My job is to finish the task the one who sent me. That to me was confirmation on my fast. So I continued to fast. Third day came. I'm still fasting. And now the pain's starting to kick in. I'm hungry. I'm hurting. And I still don't know why I'm fasting. I'm fasting. I go outside to pray. And I sit down. And Holy Spirit's, I'm praying, but I'm not really hearing anything. And Holy Spirit finally shows up and he says, hey, take three big breaths. So I did. Breathe them in. By the third one, everything stopped. It was just silent. I'm not in any more pain. I felt like somebody picked me up and just held me. I'm sitting there. And I've never been more calm in my life. Just sitting there. I learned later that one of the names for the Holy Spirit in the Bible is breath. He told me to breathe. The third breath, pain went away. By the fourth day, I was just waiting on the Lord. The fifth day, I went off to pray. I had 3 hours left of my fast. The Holy Spirit told me to go to a place that I pray at sometimes. It's out in the woods. I went there, walked down a path, and the path split. He told me to stop there, and he asked me what I saw. Well, the path split. One path went to the right, one path went to the left, and down the sharp cliff to water that I could die in if I fell. Another one was up a hillside, but my leg was hurt, so I couldn't climb. He asked me what to do. I said, I don't know. He said, exactly. You need to set your resolve in me, he said. He said, you need to set your resolve in me. That's when he taught me about waiting on the next step he was going to do in my life. That's when he taught me about that every word that came out of his mouth was the most important thing for me. And that's what I needed to focus on. Not to focus on what I saw or what I heard, but to focus on what the promises he's given me and the word that he's given me to back them up in the Bible. The last thing was faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Now, for me and all this, my faith is simple. I had hoped one day that if God was going to answer my prayers and if I was lucky enough that I go on all these Point of Hope trips. And I didn't want to travel alone anymore. You know, I want my wife to come. And all these trips I've been on, I never asked her to go. Got kids at home. Figured, you know, why waste your time? This last trip, God had taught me a lot. So I asked her. I was like, hey, babe, Nancy wants me to go to Georgia. I'm not going unless you come with me. She's like, yeah, I'll go. What? Yeah, cool. No, I'll go. What about the kids? I'm like, okay. I was like, if I can find somebody with the kids, will you go? She's like, yeah, no problem. I'll go. Went to my brother's house, my younger brother. I was like, bro, man. I said, Bona and Jordan. He's like, yep, we got it. Go. Really? Yeah, dude, it's the Lord, bro. You need to do this. You need to do this. I'm not going to lie. I jumped up and down like a little baby. I was like, yay. And she's here. But the point is, man, I've been having faith that the things I do for the Lord are for the Lord, you know? And Tim and Lisa, a couple years ago, I was at a conference in Georgia, was it? Or in Ohio. But my wife wasn't there, and I always see them together, and they look awesome. They just look awesome together. And so I went up to Tim. I was like, man, I wish my wife could be here. I've seen you and your wife, dude. I want that for me. I want my wife to come. Tim looks me in the face, dude. Just straight, just like, okay. I'm going to pray it in right now. Father, I want Ben and Bona are going to travel together on these Point of Hope trips. Amen. It's going to happen, brother. I walked away, just confident. I'm like, okay. So when she said, yeah, the first thing I thought about was like, Tim and Lisa prayed that in. Like, that was awesome. I couldn't wait to see Tim. I was like, dude, Bona's here. My wife's here. You prayed that in. You did that. The point is, God had to break down me. He had to teach me that my dependency had to be on him. And the best thing he's ever done for me is the pain, man. I say that because I didn't know God could work through pain. I didn't know he was that good. I didn't know that about God. But the greatest gift he's ever given me is, you know, my wife here with me, getting me through the pain. Not taking me out of it. I thank him they left me there. But he was with me. You know what I'm saying? And now I know that God can do that too. You know? So I know there's going to be another challenge. Like they always say, you know, you're coming out of one, you're going back, you're going to go into another one. I know it's coming. But you know what? I'm kind of excited for it. Because if God can do this, what is he going to do next time? You know? And if the payoff is my wife gets to travel with me, dude, come on, bro. That's worth it. You know what I'm saying? So, I hope you guys got something out of this. Thanks for listening. That's all I got.